This is the introductory drink offering, part one. We are that drink offering for each other today, for each other, and one day we will be that drink offering for the world. But we are being nourished. That's the difference. Our trials are actually nourishing us and giving us the strength to endure into the end for the sake of others, so that we can become those pure living waters that have been made pure by the blood of the Lamb. We'll just have an overview of some of the scriptures and what it is, what we're going to hopefully see and be blessed to derive from what this drink offering means to us. So here we go. In this study of the drink offering, we'll look at how the Lord's meat offering and his drink offering both signify the work of grace in our lives by which we are being saved. That work of grace is the wrath of God against the kingdom of our old man and his father, both of whom the Lord is intent upon destroying. So that's truly that's the core of the study right there. Together with Christ, we drink the cup that destroys the man of perdition within us by the brightness of his coming. Matthew 20:23, and he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared my Father. There's order right there. God's government already preordained, and the Father already knows how he wants that government organized and ordered for the sake of all mankind. Our old man initially persecutes Christ, just as Saul of Tarsus, who represents the natural heart of man that is filled with enmity against God, being against God, and who must be destroyed and crushed by the seven last plagues, which destruction is what brings about the birth of the new man within us. When we drink indeed of my cup and are baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, that Christ said his disciples would experience, we become that drink offering. As we fill up that drink offering throughout our lives by filling up what is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. This verse in Corinthians, and we mention it quite often, sums up the point for us as to why we come together as the body of Christ, the church, his flesh and bones. And when we read of the communion of the blood of Christ, or the body of Christ, we are once again talking about the work of grace that they represent in our lives. Perhaps you've already read this and seen it in this light, but the cup of blessing which we bless, that drink offering, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's the meat offering. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In Matthew 26:26-28, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. That's a reflection on you will drink the cup and you will endure the seven last plagues. So this is the symbolism of this cup that he's telling them to drink. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So there's a connection there with the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. They're connected. They're really the same thing, but they have different symbolic meanings for us to look at. Now he says, he will give that flesh for the life of the world. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know the blood represents the word of God. And he says, this is real life. This is real life. This is what quickens us. This is what holds us in this house of bread. This is what will nourish us. And I have given it to you upon the altar, which we know is a cross, the trials that God gives us, to make an atonement for your souls. So we are that atoning sacrifice with Christ for the rest of the world, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul, for the soulishness of man. So our blood's being cleansed, we're being sacrificed with Christ, we are as he is, so that the world can be cleansed by that drink offering, that they will drink too. Everyone will have judgment. Everyone will go through God's wrath that abides on us until it doesn't. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So there the two are connected. There's the life that's in the blood that he's talking about. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We're blessed. We have an altar which they cannot partake of. That is the drink that we have. Israel of old and the world, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water, that meat offering, that drink offering is not being partaken of now of the world. For my flesh is meat indeed, meat offering. My blood is drink indeed, the drink offering. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. So that's just how important it is. Christ is our life. We're connected to that vine, and we are connected to one another through Christ. So we nourish each other with that sacrifice. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. That did not sustain them spiritually. It was just a type and shadow. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. This section we've titled Sanctified First as a Kind of First Fruits. There is an order to the sanctification process of God's creation, starting with the elect, who are the first to be sanctified, with the drink offering, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins within us. All that is in the world within us is being sanctified by that drink offering. And this is the means that God has devised to redeem his banished. This is the means, these verses that we'll look at. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For we must needs die, and as spilt water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet does he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. That's in the course of the elect who are not banished, but who are blessed to be blessed and holy as he who has part in the first resurrection, who's sanctified first. So that we can, of course, then be used to be kings and priests to do the work that God set before us. Laying up store for others is another section. Those living waters are being stored up within us now, so we in turn can be sent forth to bring healing into a world where there's no stay of bread or water. Just like Joseph's story, laying up store. That was physically the corn or whatever it was that was being stored up for the nations. And the same parallel is true with the living waters. It's the same principle. Others will be drawn to Christ in us when the thirst for those living waters is given in God's appointed time. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, who are being given the power to lay down their life, and as such are connected to the drink offering, Jesus Christ. So that's how we're connected to Christ. And of course, if that life is in us, it's going to bring forth fruit. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's this drink offering. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And that is, in fact, the earnest relationship we have now, being raised in heavenly places, as we go before God in prayer, continue to die daily, continue to be washed with the word, and recognize that he's preparing us for such a tremendous honor and privilege to be used to heal the nations that need healing. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Meaning not every man would be thirsting, but some were. Many were called, but few were chosen, and some were going to be dragged to Christ. "He that believed on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So that's that earnest starting point where the nations are healed within us. And once those nations are healed, then we can then do the work of God. We have to drink that cup if we're going to be of any value to God. Then we can go and be about our Father's business, which will be to heal the rest of the world. Isaiah 3:1, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread," there's no meat offering, "the whole stay of water," there's no drink offering. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." That drawing and that dragging, that's the plagues that we go through as our flesh is put off. May we learn and come to that place where we realize what an honor and blessing it is to be a living sacrifice. And Paul says there in one section, Romans 12, "I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be that drink offering for each other, because that's how we will nourish each other. That's how we'll be given the power to endure until the end." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters." Again, that drink offering was right there in front of her. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with." And in a sense, that's true. Christ in his flesh couldn't do this, but the Father in him could. And the well is deep, and that's true. We know that the riches of God are unsearchable. "From whence then have you that living water?" And Christ, we know what Christ said. He had the Spirit without measure. Everything that the Father had was given to Christ. So it came from the Father. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again," meaning the physical water, the manna, which is what it typifies. "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And notice it's springing up. It's a process. He didn't say that you just once saved, always saved. There's a process. It's springing up unto eternal life. And it's just exactly what God wanted to say for Christ to say for us, for our benefit today. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, with those living waters springing up within us." Romans 12:1-2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that drink offering and the meat offering, holy, acceptable unto God, which we are through Christ, which is your divine service, your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice the word acceptable. And how are we going to understand the acceptable and perfect will of God except through Christ, through the vine? Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's that sanctification process that we talked about. John 3:15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So that's what Christ was talking about. That's that we have that in earnest. That's our hope, that those living waters are in us. And as we stay in that light and continue in the word continues to cleanse us and purify us. If we have that hope within us, it's cleansing us, it's purifying us, it's doing a work that the world can't see. They can't understand this tremendous healing process that's going on within the nations, within us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have that in earnest, we believe. And that's what it is to do the work, because as we're believing, we're being cleansed. We're coming to believe that we're more than conquerors through Christ, that these nations within us are just bread. They're there to strengthen us and to make us even that much more able to overcome and to go without the camp, like we talked last week. This section is all increase comes from God at an appointed time. The seed of God's word lays dormant in our hearts until God gives the increase. And our Father in heaven has purposed already all the seasons to unfold according to the counsel of his will. Symbolically, the early and the latter rain represent the sanctification process that all men in time will experience, that God may be all in all. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gave the increase. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In the first it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. That long patience, that long-suffering spirit of our Father is connected to repentance and sanctification, as it says in Romans 2:4. And we're not to despise that process, but ask him to help us to endure it, help each other to bear that burden and continue to cover each other's sins, to be merciful to one another, to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. In your patience, possess you your souls, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So the fruit doesn't happen right away. It takes time. That's that fruit-bearing tree is symbolically one section of scripture. It talks about it taking 3 years. There is a process of judgment. Once the judgment takes hold in any particular area of our life, that is the Lord completing something and bringing forth some fruit unto perfection. And there's a lot of fruit in nature. God's created all sorts of fruit trees, all sorts of different plants to demonstrate to us that there's many diverse gifts within us, that he can mature, and some will come forth earlier, some will come forth latter. In that sense, there's an early and a latter production of fruit in our lives. But in the larger scheme of things, there's two groups. There's the first fruits, Jesus Christ's first fruits, and then the rest of the world in the lake of fire. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, we know, and this is so important to always remember, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where Christ is drinking that right now with us in earnest as we're raised in heavenly places, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And that's the tremendous honor that we have now. We're drinking of that cup with Christ right now. Continue to abide in Christ. If we continue to be granted to abide in Christ, then we will be nourished by the destruction of our old man and his father. That's, we'll look at that verse. And the truth will set us free, like Christ said. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Just very similar to Romans 2:4, where he says, don't despise God's goodness that leads you unto repentance. When those giants are being acknowledged and God brings us to see something that has to change in our lives, that's bread for us. He's saying they will be overcome and they will be a blessing because you will recognize the new life of Christ taking place and pushing that out. And said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That drink offering, that meat offering, which is Christ, the truth, the way, the life, and the truth, will make us free. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And remember what we read in John. We'll look at that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's that meat offering and drink offering. But Jesus said unto him in Matthew 8:22, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Let the world unfold without any stay of bread or water, as God has predestinated that to happen. And focus on Christ, on at the well, on the deep things that God has set before us, that he calls us to labor for, and to bear each other's burden, because we help each other draw those waters out and recognize the blessing of our calling and who we are, where we're going, and how we're getting there through the strength of Christ in each other. Matthew 21:44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. Lessons from Ephesians, this section, tied to the drink offering. Now let's look at chapter 5 of Ephesians as a kind of opening statement for us to understand what it means to walk in love and how that love is formed through the chastening and scourging of our Father as we are received through Christ and given the strength through our Lord, through whom we can endure all things. So he's not just putting us through those trials without the assurance that we can endure them. And he wants us to know that. You will drink the cup. You will go through the judgment, but I will be there with you and you will drink it. So we can fill up what is behind of his affections, becoming that filled up drink offering for one another as we learn obedience by the things we suffer through the Lord's pruning of his vineyard, his bride, who is making ready, being made ready, who he is making ready to reveal to all the world one day. So here's Ephesians 1:5-1. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Just think of the drink offering now as we read through this. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Our apprehension, our understanding of our communion in Christ grows as we are nourished by the meat offering and drink offering that is destroying our old man, even while Christ in us is increasing. He must increase, but I must decrease. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, presented as a meat offering and a drink offering through Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As the Lord puts us through trials, we're crushed like those olives have to be crushed in order to get the oil. And that crushing that we go through now, it makes us more loving, more gentle towards those who we may not even see ourselves being terse, being short, being impatient with the world around us. But God sees that, and he says, I'm going to burn that out of you. This is the patience and faith of the saints, because he wants us to be that living drink offering and that example stored up for their sake. So they have an example through Christ in us of what's possible for them and will happen for them at an appointed time. Going on with Ephesians, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, which is what the internet is full of today, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. An idolater is a very broad statement. You can be a world-class musician and be an idolater, not even know it, because you've made an idol of your talent. You've not given glory to God. That person has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And it's not their fault, but it's just something that all mankind have to come to realize, that true life, like we read earlier, comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what God values, that drink offering, that new life, that new creation that's formed in Christ. And people will come up, haven't I done many wonderful works? Yes. Now let's look at how that came about and why you did those works. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, all these things we just read, the idolatry that's in the earth, because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, which we once were, and anything that's in us that has to be burned out, that's why we're received as his children, through God's wrath, his judgment that abides upon us. Be not you therefore partakers with them. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Behold, what manner of love, you know, that the Father has bestowed upon us to call us sons, but we know that sonship comes at the destruction of our old man. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, that love that he's forming within us? Shall tribulation, or the distress we feel in this world, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Either the sword of the bitterness of man's life and heart, the attacks, or the word of God that is chastening and scourging us. It's not departing from our house, Lord willing. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, a meat offering and a drink offering through Christ. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, the first goat, that's the meat offering and drink offering of Christ's life, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, the second goat, sent into the wilderness to be a living sacrifice through Christ, who nourishes us through our trials, so we can be partakers of the meat offering and drink offering through him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and in his body. For you were sometimes, back to Ephesians, darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is growing as we mature by partaking of the meat offering and drink offering within our communion in the church, which is Christ's body. Proving, back to Ephesians, what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is acceptable? Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat, the meat offering, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Give strong drink, the drink offering, unto him that is ready to perish. and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. And we're perishing, we're dying daily. That's the point. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Back to Ephesians, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Remember, we're talking about what it means to be that drink offering. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, notice. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And if Christ weren't in us, of course, we would never be able to drive out. That's why there's this contrast of where we were and what we're becoming through Christ. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Made manifest through the light, by the light. Wherefore he saith, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of three years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, which is our prayer. Watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Clearly, God is telling us some will be counted worthy through Christ to escape all these things that shall come to pass through the grace and faith given, and others will not be. And that's the severity and goodness of God, but God willing, that's us. And he's showing us through this drink offering what it takes. It's just exactly what God has predestined from the foundation of each of our lives. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. How can we know the will of God? 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2, and this is critical. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, the meat offering and the drink offering. Christ knew he had to drink that cup. We should know in our minds that, yes, I have to drink that cup. I have to go through this in order to discern the will of God. Once I go through that suffering, I'll cease from sinning and I'll determine and recognize the will of God. And Christ will strengthen us to be able to do all of that. For he that has suffered in his flesh is seized from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. To the lust of men within us and to the lust without. Whatever is around us, that we're not consumed by this world, but coming out of her, my people, and recognizing the body of Christ and our function today for their sakes. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And as we just read, that will happen as a result of our drinking that cup. Who his own self, 1 Peter 2:24, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Notice the parallel, being dead to sin. Now we recognize ourselves being indeed dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That drink offering. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for us so that we could be led by the Spirit and we could be those living waters today in earnest for one another, going forth in each other's lives, blessing each other. Going back to Ephesians, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the meat offering and drink offering by understanding the will of God and fulfilling it through Jesus Christ. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Look at all of this is again connected to the drink offering. Always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, knowing where to go to get those living waters and having that entreatable heart and mind so that we don't go there with a bitter spirit and a mixed spirit, but we go there, Lord, I need and hunger, a hunger and a thirst and a humility to want to have those living waters. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, pouring out our life as a drink offering for each other, as a joint that supplies in love. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, pouring out our life as a drink offering for each other, as a joint that supplies in love. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, as a meat offering and a drink offering, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, notice, with the washing of the water by the word, as a meat offering and a drink offering, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, come out of her, my people, is what that's saying there, and shall be joined unto his wife, the bride, the church, Jerusalem above, and they too shall be one flesh. We're made one through the meat offering and the drink offering. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Like we just read, that flesh is the body. It's just the church. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Gentiles within us and the Gentiles without, as we go from faith to faith, we go from glory to glory. The hope of being able to go from glory to glory through Jesus Christ as we fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we have to be steely. We have to say, Lord, don't let us grow weary in well-doing. Keep us at that mill, grinding and focused and believing that our labor is not in vain, so that we're not distracted. We have a steadfast vision and a hope together. This is a great mystery, what's happening in our lives. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. This relationship is the great mystery that is specific to Christ and the church today, and the means by which we will be able to learn to have a righteous relationship with our Father in Christ, and his body is laid out for us in these verses. Judgment is upon us so we can become bold as lions who are connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And we know that is the Christus. That's the second resurrection. That's the judgment. There's a damnation there, but there's judgment, but it will cleanse them. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment today, because as he is, so are we in this world. With my soul have I desired you in the night, yea, with my spirit within me, while I seek you early. This is a type and shadow of the elect who seek the Lord early. For when your judgments are in the earth within us, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness, both within, the nations are being subdued under Christ within us, but ultimately without, if we're granted to endure unto the end. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If we have this relationship with our Father in Christ and each other. We're getting to know what it is that God wants us to know so that we can be those kings and priests. That discerning mind of Christ is growing. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That's such a comforting statement. God will get, Christ says, you will drink the cup. I will prevail. I will open all of those seals, and all of God's wrath will be endured, but it will purify us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, we're not perfect in love yet, but as we come to recognize any fear within us, we will wrestle it down through Jesus Christ. Christ said to his disciples, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. They were really impressed with the fact that they had dominion over the powers and principalities of the spirits that were affecting men and women in sickness, and they were casting out demons. But they hadn't recognized yet the greatest demon they had to overcome was themselves, the powers and principalities that Christ is far higher than. Being of our father the devil for so long, we get comfortable in our flesh and who we were. And Christ came along and said to them, no, here's the reality. This is the greater deal here. You're going to have power over the devil. You're going to be able to fulfill the will of God, but it's going to take a great destruction of that man of perdition and the life of Christ in us, that drink offering. And the last verse of Ephesians, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The only way we can become a mature drink offering or meat offering connected to our head, Jesus Christ, who we reverence, is to go through this process described in John 15, verses 1 to 10, that requires that we abide in Christ all of our life, enduring through the chastening process and pruning process so that we can bring forth more fruit. As a result of that steadfast spirit that causes us to look diligently to the Lord, we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Who has given his children this blessing in this age to be able to drink this cup of suffering as we are received as sons and daughters who he loves. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Behold, what manner of love. This is the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. We are made clean through the word that Christ spoke to us. It says that in John 15, verse 3. But we must continue to abide in that word and see the continual need for this process of overcoming and enduring until the end. As we lose our lives so that we can gain the new life of Christ that is formed and fashioned through him and his body as we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Boasting is excluded in the life of God's elect as we present our lives a living sacrifice that is being poured out through a lifetime of going where the Lord would have us go by faith. It is there that we will meet Simon of Cyrene in each other on this narrow road where we are called to a lifetime of bearing each other's burdens, so we can fulfill the law of Christ and bring forth much fruit as a result of abiding in him. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, in the truth, in those things which Christ has defined for us as truth. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Luke 23:26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So that's how God's perception of our flesh and our deeds, they're nothing. He doesn't lay up store in heaven for what we do physically. He lays up store in heaven for what we do spiritually, which may be connected to our physical actions. But what we do spiritually, Christ does through us, that's being laid up in heaven. I hope to present a couple more studies on the drink offering that will go into both the Old and New Covenant examples that I pray will help explain how God has devised a means through the body of Christ to wash all of the world with the living waters that represent the drink offering of Christ's life that is being formed in us so we can be sent as those living waters to bring healing to the nations. And we know this for 2 Samuel 14:14, for we must needs die. That's that seed that has to die in order for life to come forth, and are as spilt water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet does he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Right now, that's each of us. We can save ourselves and those who hear us. But ultimately, at the end, we know that those living waters will go forth and the word of God will never return to him void. So nothing we do is ever in vain. If God will grant us to always remember that, we'll continue to be able to rejoice in the Lord always and always rejoice because there's something to be thankful for at every moment, like we just read in Ephesians. And the drink offering is about that. It seems heavy to me when I first started to look at all the scriptures, but I thought, you know what? This is a story of rejoicing. This is a story of nourishment and strength. And the reason why we can rejoice always in the Lord is because he's cleansing us and building us up as a body of Christ. So that's our introduction now. And as I said, there will probably be a couple of more Monday studies I do connected to this. Thanks for all coming out.